Amen. Amen. Let's talk about communion today. Let's talk about communion. This was probably, I mean, we had been talking about receiving communion for a while, and this is probably hinged more so what happened about 2.5 weeks ago with the start of the Olympics, when we saw the mockery of Jesus, the mockery of the Last Supper, the mockery of that on a worldwide stage. Everybody, I don't know, you know, I'm all over social media just because I needed to connect with people. The picture was on Facebook, it was on IG, it was on Twitter, it was on, you know, X, it was on, you know, every, you know, Threads, it was on probably TikTok. That image of you know, folks dressed up as, you know, drag queens and really just mocking the mockery of it. And then there was all kind of pushback on it, and there's interesting when you get a chance to read different people's perspective. But it's always interesting to me of why was that image portrayed at the opening of the Olympics? Why wasn't there any pushback with Islam? Why wasn't there any pushback with Hinduism? Why wasn't there any pushback with Buddha? Why wasn't there any pushback with Muhammad? Because what would happen on a worldwide scale, if that happened concerning Islam or Muhammad, there would be worldwide crazy going on. And Christians, more so than not, I mean, there was an outrage, but it's almost kind of like a little bit of a outrage. I mean, we're not out killing people, and that's not what we're going to do. But we see stuff going on in Europe right now, and it's happening with stuff that's going on where different cultures are intersecting and colliding. We are seeing stuff happen in this generation that's never happened before. And so what we need to do is we need to realize that what's happening on the earth is because there's something happening in the heavenlies. There's a war going on. Come on, everybody. Come on, there's a war going on, right? And we're not ignorant of our what we're dealing with. We're not sitting there rolling our hands and being afraid. But we need to be prayerfully looking at the proper perspective of what's going on the earth, that there's some things happening in God's calendar and the time that we're living in. Can you say amen? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at three occasions where we see communion or we see Passover mentioned. Old Testament's Passover, New Testament is communion. We'll talk about that. We'll give you a couple of definitions of what that word means as well. So we'll look at the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 12, where it's instituted. We'll look at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about it. And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that the Apostle Paul breaks it down, really talking about the meaning of it more so than any other part of Scripture. We'll read just a few seconds here in Exodus chapter 12, but get you caught up. Before we start looking at the Passover in the book of Exodus, where it was instituted, you realize that the nation of Israel had been in bondage for about 430 years. When Joseph, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then his son Joseph, Joseph was then the prime minister over Egypt, and his brothers and sisters, family, all came there, and he saved them. Remember the whole story? And they began populating, so much so that they were actually a greater population than the Egyptians. And so they thought they better do something with this growing population, and so they said, we're going to put them in slavery. So they made them slaves and made them work for them, but they kept growing and increasing. We read the story that they tried to kill, you know, all the babies. Moses was one of those. You know, he was hidden in the bulrush, hidden the river there. Then he was raised to power. We remember that story. And then God used him to bring the deliverance of the nation of Israel, was going to use him to bring them out of that slavery, out of that bitterness of soul. And the Bible says that it was going to come through plagues, that there were 10 plagues that God actually worked in the nation of Egypt, showing God's power. We know that the water to blood, the frogs, the lice, the hail, fiery, come on, darkness so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of you for 3 days. God showed his power to the nation of Israel. And remember that, you know, he let my people go. Pharaoh said, I'm going to let you go. But then he wouldn't let them go. And then there was a final plague that was going to be the death of the firstborn son, right? That was going to be the final. Come on, everybody with me? Everybody tracking with me? Come on, we all saw Prince of Egypt, right? Come on, everybody. The movie, come on. If you got kids, you've seen that. It was going to be the death of the firstborn male child. And so pick it up. Let's start reading Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. God tells Moses is going to tell the people of Israel, here it is, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Don't miss this now. Don't miss this. Before he talks about what he's going to do, before he talks about how he's going to protect them, he tells them here, this month is going to be the beginning of the month. Everything's going to change in your life right now. In fact, listen, this is going to be your January 1st. The calendar of your life, the calendar of your nation is going to revolve around this event. This is going to be the first day of the year for you. This is going to be the most significant thing that's going to happen with you, with the nation, not only now, but for generations to come. You've been in bondage for 430 years. That's all you've known is slavery. Everything is going to change. This is how important this event was going to be. Come on, everybody say Passover. This is a huge event. This isn't a light event. The nation of Israel still celebrates this event thousands of years later. That's how powerful this is. Summarizing the verses that we're going to, they're all over Exodus 12, but summarizing this, here's what God tells Moses. Moses tells the people, take a male, unblemished lamb, one for every household. Every household get a lamb. Kill it. He says, eat all the flesh with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs simply means when you eat this lamb, I want some bitter herbs there. I want you to remember the pain of your past. I want you to come to Passover. I want you to come to this. We're going to take a lamb. It's got to be a male, not a female. Type and shadow of Jesus, unblemished, perfect, sinless, blameless. Every household gets one. You got to have it for your house. Got to have it for yourself. Every household gets one. It's going to change. Your whole life's going to change. Every year we're going to talk about this. Every year we're going to memorialize this. Every year we're going to remember this, this Passover. And you're going to eat it with bitter herbs. You're going to remember what you came out of. Now the Passover, or if you look in the Hebrew, it'll say the Paschal Lamb, P-A-S-C-H-A-L, the Paschal Lamb or the Passover. It actually means this, immunity from penalty and calamity. You are now going to be immune from the penalty or the calamity of not following my precepts and my plan. It means a sacrifice offered on account of and sparing for the people, an offering on account of, and it's going to be accounted to you as an offering. You're going to be spared by this sacrifice. Exodus 12, verse 7. Take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Take the blood. You're going to kill the lamb. You're going to drain the blood. Take some of the blood, and you're going to dip it. You're going to dip it in that like a paintbrush, and you're going to take it over the doorposts of your house. Again, type of cross, wood. You're going to take the blood. Listen to me. You're going to dip the blood. God's not going to do it for you. There's got to be participation with you concerning the power of this. You're going to take it and you're going to put it on the doorpost of your house. How do we do this today? What would be the picture for us today? Again, we dip our tongues speaking of the blood of Jesus and what the power of God's done for us. We speak, you've redeemed me. You've saved me. You've healed me. You've blessed me. You've kept me. Come on, everybody. You're my God. This is what we do. This is the analogy. This is the shadow. This is the type. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, come on, everybody say, see the blood. I will pass over you. Passover. I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you. Come on, say it with me. The plague shall not be on me. Come on. To destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Come on. There's getting ready to be a plague. It's the last plague. The death of the firstborn. It's going to pass over you when I see the blood. Come on. When I see the blood. We are people that are connected to God through Jesus Christ through a blood sacrifice. Holy, pure, unblemished blood. Jesus' blood speaks of better things than the blood of Abel, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11. God's blood, Jesus' blood, is delivering blood, is prospering blood, come on, is healing blood, is saving blood. Continuously, that what goes on out there isn't supposed to go on in here. Come on, everybody. A physical house, a physical home, a family, but also the scripture says now we are the house of God. We are the temple of God. So again, the blood of Jesus is keeping us, it's protecting us, it's delivering us, it's working in us. All the things of the covenant with God that through Jesus Christ is available to us. It's alive in us now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, everybody. Man, the sin, the judgment in the world that God says, I'm going to judge them. It's coming to them. When I see the blood, I'm passing over. Otherwise, the death angel, it's coming into that house. It's coming into that house. So again, one more time, listen to me. What's going on out there isn't supposed to be going on in here. All the challenges out there aren't supposed to be going on in here. We're in the world, but not of the world. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's get the blood working. Come on, that's like somebody says, we got to be slinging some blood. Like just old-time Pentecostals, they say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Come on, everybody. Just go, I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, we got some old school Pentecostal folk that you go in your kids' room and just anoint the pillows with oil. Come on, everybody. Come on, those kids put their head down the back, slide off the pillow at night, so much oil. Come on, we plead the blood of Jesus. Come on, we believe God. Come on, what happens out there is this, I'm not talking, there's all kinds of challenges. You're going to raise a family, even in your own soul, even in your own mind. But listen to me, the blood cleanses you from all sin. Cleanses, it's a cleansing agent from all sin, all stuff that goes off, all frustration, disappointment, things that you think shouldn't have happened. Why'd that happen? The blood of Jesus has got a way to make it all right. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Verse 11, check it out. Exodus 12, 11. And thus you shall eat with a belt on your waist and sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What's that mean? When they ate, listen, they're not just sitting around, you know, shorts on, little t-shirt, hanging around, just chilling. No, no, no. God tell Moses and you tell the people, when you eat, you get your shoes on, you get your belt on, you get your staff in your hand with expectation, with anticipation, something's changing right now. We're getting ready to move out of this situation. Listen to me. We're getting ready to move out of this situation. We're waiting for the Lord. The Lord is about to deliver us from the hold of Pharaoh. Come on. God's about to break the power of sin off of my life, off my family, off of my mind, off of my future. Come on. Something's changing right now. Now, when you read the whole story, because I was thinking, you know, if somebody gives a little pushback here, I was kind of reading the story going a little pushback myself. And here was my pushback. You did deliver them, oh God, but how many know Pharaoh still went chasing after him? Come on, everybody, remember that? Death of the firstborn, and they went out marching the nation of Israel into the wilderness, and then Pharaoh said, pardon me, what the hell are we doing? We lost all of our slaves. And they went tracking after them. Remember? Come on, remember? So even though God did deliver them, you're going to have to still stand and say, I've been delivered. Come on, everybody. God's still fighting for me. God's still fighting for me. So when we leave this place today after receiving communion based on Old Testament scripture, Exodus chapter 12, listen to me, there's still going to be a fight for your freedom in the sense of something's still trying to come to my mind, but I know I took communion. I know I'm forgiven. I know the blood of Jesus is working. I know the power of God's working in me. I'm going to stand fast in the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Are you with me? Come on, you with me? Come on, everybody. Yeah. So even though it was over, still, I'm going to have to stand and say, it is over. I'm going to have to stand. This Passover, the scripture says, was to be remembered every year, acted on every year. That first day, the calendar year, every year, it was going to be, one scripture says this, it is going to be a memorial. We're going to memorialize this event. And isn't it interesting, again, when you realize that the nation of Israel, up until the 40s, when they got their own land, the nation of Israel is the only people group, listen to me, the only people group that did not have a land for centuries, thousands of years, no land. But when they got a land, listen to me, they had a language and they had the same God. Because guess what they did? They kept it alive in their heart and they kept it alive in their family. You can withstand anything that comes against you if you'll keep it alive in your heart and alive in your family. Can you say amen, everybody? Let's look at what Jesus was saying. Let's look at what Jesus said. It's mentioned in three of the four Gospels. It's mentioned in Matthew 26. It's mentioned in Mark 14 and Luke 22. John does not record the actual meal of taking the Passover, but he goes at great lengths in chapter 12 through 17, Jesus in teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit, about abiding, John 15, in the vine, about foot washing, you know, just serving one another is what he was talking about there. So we see the results and the ramifications of what's going to happen when God's working in your life with interpersonal relationships, allowing the Holy Spirit to come in your life. It's powerful. I encourage you to read that. So Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. We remember that. In just the next few hours, listen, just a few hours, he's about to be betrayed by Judas. He's about to be beaten by the Romans. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to be flogged and marred more than any man, hung on a cross. He's about to suffer. He's about to die for all of us. And the scripture says that he's right there with his disciples, you know. Judas is there and he dips a little bit and then he runs out and he's going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. This is all happening just hours before the trial begins. And Jesus says something that every time I read this, I'm just struck in my heart, and I hope it strikes you the same. Luke 22:15, he says this, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." If I know suffering's coming, I'm not really with fervent desire wanting to do much of anything. If I know it's going to be awful, he knows he's going to, you know, go to the cross. He knows this. He knows this. He knows that he is the Isaiah 53 prophecy. He knows this is him. He knows I am the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He knows what's coming. And yet, if I can say it this way, he has the audacity. He has the strength of character to say, "I've really, really fervently desired to eat this last meal with you before I suffer." Why could he say that? Because he knew what would happen for you and me through his suffering. Listen to me. That's why we sing. And you need to sing every day. Like, "He's worthy of it all." I could never be right with the Father if it wasn't for Jesus. Come on, everybody. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. That's why we thank God. Come on, everybody. Different translations. Check on the screen. With all my heart, I've looked forward to eat this Passover with you. All my heart. I've earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Earnestly, intensely, long, looked forward to doing this. Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread. Look at the three things he did. He blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. Look at those three things. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Through this communion, he says, this Passover, your life is going to be blessed. Your life is going to be blessed in remembering the power of it. My life is going to be broken for you. I'm not asking your life to be broken for me. My life will be broken for you. And I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give my life for you. And he says to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup, verse 27, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. and this is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Again, Jesus is going to be speaking to them and was speaking to them about what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah said, surely he's borne your griefs and carried your sorrows, yet you esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, and by his stripes you and I now are healed. He was like a sheep led out before the slaughter. He didn't open up his mouth. Remember on the cross, he didn't even open up his mouth even before Pilate. He was quiet. He kept his tongue from sinning and even saying anything out from what the scripture actually says. This is the Christ we serve. This is the one who suffered and died. This is the one whose life now is to be a blessing for you, whose life was broken for you, whose life was now given for you and for me. Now we don't, where Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, and he says, this is my blood, we don't believe like there's some groups that believe in a word called transubstantiation that actually means they believe the bread and the juice actually becomes the body and the blood of Jesus, or the juice actually becomes the blood of Jesus. We don't believe it actually becomes it because the scripture doesn't say it, but we do actually believe that we can have faith in the event, so the power of that event can be real in our life as well. Amen, everybody? Now, let's just talk for a second about this word, because it's a word we don't use. It's the word here called remission. Notice that word, remission of sins. Look on the screen real quick. Remission of sins means the release from the bondage or imprisonment. Remission of sins means I've been released from the bondage or imprisonment. I've been released from the bondage, the hold of sin. My sins have been remitted. No longer are they holding me. I've been released from the imprisonment. Where you say, I just can't change. I just can't change. This is the way my life always is. And you feel like you're in prison, like nothing's ever going to change in your life. This is the addiction. This is the lifestyle. This is the thoughts. This is what I'm always battling. No. Our sins have been remitted. That we've been released from the bondage of that. We've been released from living an imprisoned life, the scripture is telling us. It also means forgiveness, or to be pardoned from sins, letting them go as if they've never been committed. God says, when you come and you ask me to forgive you, your sins have been remitted. They are no longer before me. I don't see you through your sin. I see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen, everybody? Now, Jesus actually gave us a hint of what he was going to be doing through his life, death, and resurrection. He tells us this. He says that this is the blood of my new covenant. They never heard that phrase before. This is the blood of my new covenant. We're no longer going to be sacrificing a lamb to cover the sins of the people. My blood on the cross is going to enact a new covenant reality with you. The old covenant is now going to be over. A new covenant is now going to begin, and it's ratified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this. We have a phrase, and it's a natural phrase, and it's a powerful phrase. It goes something like this. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. Listen to me. I want you to think about that when we take communion. You are what you eat. You are what you drink. I'm partaking of the body of Christ. I have faith in the body of Christ. I've got faith in the blood of Christ today. No matter what's come to my mind, no matter what sin's trying to dog me of what I did, should have did, could have did, or I did back then, I am free today from the hold. The bondage broken. I'm no longer in prison. My sin has been remitted. It's been removed. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen, everybody? Yeah. Yeah, it's working in me. It's working in me. Come on, it's working in me. The body, the blood is working in me. You know that in our bodies, the blood circulates through your entire body. I don't know what, it's like every 45 or 50 seconds through your heart, and it'll go through your entire body. I just want to think about that. The blood of Jesus going through every single area. If you're needing healing, the blood of Jesus going through every single area of your life, every single area of your body. bringing healing. The body of Jesus, bringing wholeness where there's weakness, where there's deficiency. The body of Jesus that was shed for us, bringing strength. To my mind, you know, dealing with the chaos and dealing with thoughts and so many in our people in our generation with their minds with dealing with condemnation and anxiety and stress, so much so that they're, just living on drugs and can't bear to get out of the house and fearful and just don't know what to do. And all of that, listen to me, all of that can pass over your life. Listen, I'm for all the help. I'm for counseling. I'm for therapy. I'm for any kind of medication to get you to a place where you can start thinking right and believing right. But listen to me, friends, don't give in and live your life to say, I've got to live the rest of my life like this. I want to believe God with you. I want to believe God today that this is the beginning of a new day. Your calendar year reorganized around this event today. Faith and power in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Come on, any believers like that today? Come on, my life is going to change today. Come on, my life is going to change today. Let's read the third place that this is talked about. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Unless you think that this is just for the real super church and the real super Christians, the church at Corinth, they were a mess. they were a mess. We've got a guy that's having sex with his mother, with his stepmother. We've got bitterness, and we got people coming to the communion, and they're coming drunk while they're getting ready to take communion. Anybody drunk today? Don't raise your hand. Come on, don't raise your hand. Just checking. Chapter 10, verse 16, Paul writes, and he says this. Check this out. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He talks again, he tells them that, listen, Passover was Old Testament. Jesus instituted a new covenant. He said the bread was his body, the wine was his blood. And now we're coming as New Testament Christians who Jesus is now living within us through the power, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're coming to this table, we're coming to this time that this is now a cup of blessing. We're about to partake of the blessing of the Lord. It's going to involve the communion of the blood of Christ, and it's going to involve the communion of the body of Christ. And he picks it up in chapter 11, verse 23. He says, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We read about that. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember Old Testament, Exodus 12? It's going to be memorial. It's going to be memorialized. Remember this. Do this repeatedly. And do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant. Again, there's that word, the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often. No set thing. Doesn't have to be once a week, once a day, once a month. But as often as you do it, remember me. Verse 26. For as often, here it is again, as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Notice that phrase. As often as you eat the bread, you drink the cup, you are proclaiming. What we are about to do, listen to me. Let this sink in. This has been going on for thousands of years with believers. This has been going on for at least 4,000 years from the Passover with Moses. The beginning of this actually takes us back to what we didn't read in Genesis 15, where God cuts the covenant with the first God man, we would kind of say, Abraham, covenant man. And he cuts a covenant with him. He says, I'm in covenant with you, Abraham. And a deep sleep falls over him, and there's animals that are cut down the middle. And the scripture says a flaming fire and a torch came through these animals. Smoke was burning. Fear came on Abraham. It was a trembling time. And God said, listen to me. There's a time coming when the people will be in bondage, God prophesies to them, for over 400 years, but they're going to come out. Listen to me. God knows what's going on. Listen to me. God knows what's going on. Let's remember that we serve God Almighty. Listen to me. Who is and was and is to come. And this table that we come to isn't to come to lightly or fearfully, but intelligently, respectfully, honoring, worshiping, and remembering the power of it. This communion is retelling the proclamation of the Lord's death till he comes. So we are proclaiming this event of the juice and the bread is a proclamation that the power of God is still working the earth and is working me up my life. The power of the word of God is still alive and it's working in me. So every time we take communion, again, just the next couple seconds, it's an acted out confession. I don't want to call it a play because that's just too generic and too natural. We are acting out. We are reacting, if you will, through the emblems, the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus. It's we're remembering that you suffered, you died, you hung, you went to hell for me. You paid the penalty for me. You rose for me. Come on, now I'm alive with you. I've been seated with you. I'm in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to live my own life in the power and the sin of bondage or imprisonment. My sins have been remitted. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen, everybody? Amen. So here's the warning. Here's the warning for us. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, let a woman examine herself, and let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It doesn't mean that you are unworthy. We're not supposed to look at our life going, I'm unworthy, I can't eat. No. We look at our life and we say, there's no way I can redeem myself. I am unworthy in myself, but I have made my life, surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm saying through the power of the blood, through the power of the body, you have forgiven me, you've changed me. I say no to sin, I repent, I change my mind, I'm changing my direction. Communion is an element, is a time, is a remembrance where I'm running to you, I'm running back to the cross, I'm running to the Father, I'm saying yes to you, no to my flesh, yes to God's will, no to my way, yes to your word, no to my situation, and I'm running to you again today. Seal it today with your body and your blood. Amen. He who drinks, verse 29, and eats in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not properly discerning the Lord's body. Twofold, not discerning the body of Jesus, what he did for us. And also, number two, not discerning the Lord's body. Listen, the body of Christ. I've got to discern two things. I've got to discern the body of Jesus, the perfect, spotless sacrifice, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who took my place, bore my sin, took my shame, took my guilt, and made me right with him. But now I've got to also discern the body of Christ. Am I walking in love? Am I at odds with my brother and my sister in the Lord? What's going on in my marriage? What's going on with my children? Is there fighting? Is there bitterness? Is there angst? All those things. I've got to make sure I'm right with relationships, both vertical and horizontal. Discerning the Lord's body. He says, for this reason, verse 30, many are weak. Here's the fearful side. Many are weak. Many are sick among you. and many sleep, many die early. If we judge yourself, we wouldn't be judged. When we're judged, we're chastened to the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, listen to me. Some of y'all are weak. Some of you are sick. Some of you are dying early. You shouldn't be, because you haven't judged yourself. God's waiting you out, and there's weakness, and there's sickness, and there's all kinds of things that are happening out there that aren't supposed to be happening here, because the blood of Jesus covers you, and what happens in the world is supposed to pass over you. So he says, when you come to this meal, you come with honor, you come with an open heart, you come with a repentance, you come with, God, I need you. If there's anything in your life where you're out of order between you and God or between anyone else, you confess that before you come to the table. I was raised for a while as a kid as a Baptist, and it was a fearful time, communion. We took it every week. And the preacher would talk about, you better be right in your heart. And he was kind of hard, you know, kind of beat you a little bit. But there was a fear that kind of came in me as a little kid. And every week I'd be repenting. Come on, as an 8-year-old. Come on, everybody. 8-year-old can still get in a lot of trouble. Me, anyway. And so when we come to the communion, listen to me. We come with an open heart. We don't come with a negative heart in ourselves to say, I can never be right with God. No, our sins have been remitted. We just confess them to Him. They've been forgiven. Amen, everybody? Real quick, communion means this. Look on the screen. What does communion mean? The definition. Definition means fellowship. It means association. It means community. It means joint participation. So we come to this communion meal to actually fellowship with the Lord. We're associated with the Lord. We have community with the Lord. We are partnered with the Lord. One writer said this, through communion, we actively call to mind and we bring to the forefront of our remembrance what Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. We bring it to the forefront of our mind. We bring it. We're thinking about it. We were there at Golgotha. We picture it. We were there. We were there receiving communion with you, with the disciples. We were there. We remember your body broken. We remember your blood shed for my sin to be removed. We said it already once, but listen to me. The same power in the event is available in the remembrance. The same power in the event is available now when we remember. We honor the Word. We honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So much so that Paul says in writing earlier to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, and he says, indeed, Christ our Passover, He was sacrificed for us. Paul ties Exodus 12 right into the New Testament reality. He brings it and calls it Passover to a group of people that they were not Jews, they were Greeks. But he says, listen, the same power that happened then, that the death angel came through that whole land and passed over them, the same power of the blood and the body of Christ is now going to work in you, and it's going to bring a change in your life. Listen to me, forever and ever. So when we come to this meal, come with your shoes on your feet. Come with your waist girded. Come with a staff in your hand, because you are getting ready to move. You are getting ready to change. Your situation is getting ready to be completely, you're getting ready to go on a different path. Doors are going to open, other doors are going to shut. New desires are going to come in your life. If there's been a struggle with the desire to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight, like Philippians chapter 2 says, listen to me, it's going to be stirred up in your life. There'll be a holy dissatisfaction to keep you doing what you've been doing, and a holy openness in your heart to say, I want to do and be everything God wants me for my life because of the body and the blood of Jesus. We are partaking, participating, associating with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen, everybody? Come on, you've been sitting for a long time. Stand up, everybody. Would you do it? Come on, guys. Yeah. Thanks, Brother Mario. Go ahead and get your communion elements. There's a couple of different different tabs you need to pull. Pull that first one and get the bread out. Would you do that? Does everybody have one? Does anybody need one? Raise your hand and our staff can help you out this morning. Come on, we're going to remember him. Amen? You got it there? Go ahead and just hold that bread up, would you? Father, today, we just thank you for the power of the body of Christ. Jesus, you suffered, you died, you came to the earth, you were born of a virgin. You worked a natural job as a carpenter. You endured hardship and hardness for us until you were 30 years old and you entered into your role, preaching, teaching, healing. Father, would you strengthen us today? Come on, let a cry come from your heart of prayer. Strengthen me today. Strengthen me. Spirit, soul, and body. Give me endurance. Give me perseverance like you had. I don't have to suffer for myself and my sin because you suffered for me. I don't have to be a martyr for my own sin because you took my place. A Passover lamb was unblemished, a male. That was you, Jesus, a type of you. Perfect. You're perfect. You're the only sacrifice. You're the only one that could bring me back to the Father. It wasn't just your blood, it was your body. You were whipped. Crown of thorns. You were spit upon. You were beat upon. Spikes in your hands. Spikes in your feet. Spear in your side. You did that for me. You did that for us. For our healing. For our deliverance. We remember. We actively call to mind your sacrifice. A lamb for a house, you told us in the book of Exodus. So we have the Lamb of God, we said, in our own life as an individual and of our house. Lord, would you be in our house in a new special way right now? We need you. We need you. We want you. We desire you. Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. The plan of God you fulfilled. We remember. We remember. Come on, partake together. Father, we remember the blood of that lamb that was drained and put in a bucket, and the hyssop branch was dipped in and then applied over the doorposts of their houses. Testament that now what goes on in the world, the pain of the world, the sickness and sin of the world, the wickedness of the world passes over our house, our life, our heart, our minds. The blood circulating in our life, natural blood, is bringing out and removing things in our body, the blood that doesn't belong there. your spiritual blood is working in us, changing our thoughts and our minds, our wills, our desires, our motives, our agenda. The blood of Jesus perfecting, completing us. We remember the blood of Jesus that forgives us from our sin. So we confess our sin, Lord God. Come on, if you're involved in something, just let that come out of your, just quietly under your breath. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God. I repent. I change my mind. I'm changing my direction today. The blood's cleansing me, removing the stain of sin of my life. Remitted, removed, forgotten. I'm forgiven. I'm delivered. Thank you for the blood. As often as you do, do in remembrance of me. We remember. We remember. We remember. Let's partake. Can you lift a hand just by an act of faith? Just say, thank you, Lord, I'm free. Come on, thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm free. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I'm free. I'm free from the hold of the enemy. I'm free from my past. I'm free from my failure. I'm free from my sin. I'm right with God. Jesus made me righteous. Come on. He sanctified me. He redeemed me. He restored me. Come on, everybody. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the sacrifice of your life, Lord God, you brought the body. You bring us into wholeness with yourself. You as the head of the church, working through the body. You're part of something that's been going on for thousands of years. Thank you for the power of communion. Thank you. It's working in us. It's working in us. Come on, in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Come on, said amen, amen, amen. Why don't you, I don't know, what are we doing with these cups? Are we doing, pass them down to the outside rows, guys, with you, and our ushers are just take care of those for you today. Amen, everybody.